All right, Acts chapter 20, we'll all stand. We'll read a section of scripture together. Christy, is it true that we don't need to turn the lights off behind me? Is that correct? You're not sure. All right, well, we'll figure it out. Maybe Pastor Kowak, when we're reading, you just turn the lights off behind me, okay? All right, we'll start reading, if we could, in verse 1 of Acts chapter 20. We're going to focus on verses 7 through verse 12, and I have entitled this morning from the song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. So verse 1 says this, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. Macedonia being a province of what we would call modern-day Greek. But not the same as the province of Macedonia, which is in a different location today. Verse 2, and when he had gone over those parts and given them much exhortation, and by the way, this is talking about what you do in church. Church services were about encouraging, teaching, instructing, exhorting God's people. It says he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months, and when the Jews, probably what we would call certain Jewish leaders, laid wait for him. As he was supposed to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So he decided to backtrack and go a different way. And there accompanied him into Asia, and you have all of these funny names. Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius, and of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, and Tychicus, and Trophimus. And you only thought we had names that are hard to pronounce. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So they finally get to where the text we're going to read this morning, and when they finally get here, they stay 7 days. It says in verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, the ESV translates this differently. There's some confusion in the text, but it says the same ideas. It says, when the disciples came together, or when we came together for the purpose of to break bread. Now, your first thought should be, what are we discussing breaking bread? And the answer is, I don't know. In this text, we're going to find it might have been, by the way, it could have been the Lord's Supper. That's possible. It could have been a meal, or it could have been both. I don't know. It's interesting to chase this down, and we will do that in the sermon for your benefit, because in Acts chapter 2, it talks about breaking bread, but later on, it talks about breaking bread just as normal food. So there is a little bit of, ambiguity in the text. Maybe it's the Lord's Supper. Verse 7, so upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, either the Lord's Supper or a meal or both, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And some of you thought I preached long sermons. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they gathered together. So this is definitely a meeting of believers gathering together to fulfill God's purposes. And it says, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen in a deep sleep. And as Paul was long in preaching, and this is not the normal word for keruso, which means to proclaim, wasn't the word for euangelion or euangelizomai, which means to preach the gospel. He's simply dialoguing with the people, teaching in some fashion. It says, poor Eutychus, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. So the next time you get sleepy in church, you better be very thankful that you can't fall but just a short distance. I love this story. So let's keep reading. Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And I don't know if God performed a miracle of protecting him or God brought his life back. Really, it doesn't say. It says, when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten. So in that text, we know it doesn't mean the Lord's Supper there. Same Greek word, broken bread. And talked a long while, even till break of day. Folks, this is when you really get serious. You not only preach till midnight, then you preach the rest of the night till somewhere around 6 a.m. It says, he departed, and they brought the young man, this Eutychus guy, alive, and then in that funny way of saying it, and were not a little comforted. I'm going to speak this morning on Brethren We Have Met to Worship. If you have a pen and you take notes, I would recommend it. I would recommend it because I'm going to ask and answer a simple question. How do you know you've been to worship? What in the world is worship? And this will be the simplest sermon I could think I could possibly preach that you can actually memorize just by hearing it once. It's that simple. Father, thank you for this time. May you bless our time together. I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Corporate gathered church worship. Since the Reformation, which is 500 years or so, much has been stable in church worship. In the 1500s and 1600s, there was definitely wars over elements of worship. But since the 1700s or so, the Puritans, Separatists, Baptists, etc., believed in the thing that really moves me is the simplicity of gospel worship. So you had very little activity from the year 1700 to about the year 1980. Very little. There were a couple eruptions in the 1820s and 30s. There were some problems in the 1890s to about 1920. But on the whole, worship was the same. Now, you don't care me to teach that this morning. I'm going to ask this question. How do you know you're worshiping? Well, we're going to do two things. I'm going to explain it from an event yesterday, and I'm going to show you some. I would like to go worship at this church next week. I cannot go because of COVID, but I'd like to. And we're going to join in for a minute. Dr. Moritz told me, and he's not a child anymore, nearly 80, he said in his church growing up as a boy, through his undergrad and his master's of divinity, all the way to his doctorate, he said we never one time discussed worship because it was never an issue. Well, now it is. What is worship? Let me ask you another question. What is safe driving? Are you a good driver? Look at me. Are you a good driver? Some of you are not sure if you're a good driver. Sometimes. I'm looking back there at Tupper Jr. You're not a good driver. The thought of you driving scares me. Okay, just so you know. Well, yesterday, my wife and I were driving back on Highway 55, and as we approached 294, there were all kinds of wrecks on 294 and backups. So we took a different route home. We took 355 around a little farther. It's a little farther, but the road was really nice and really clear, and we drove, and I'd never driven that way before. We drove around 355, and we came up to, I think, was it Palatine Road? Is that what we got on? We took Palatine over to 294. Everything was beautiful. We get on 294. 294 at that place is four lanes north, four lanes south. You got the far right lane, which is the one that kind of slow and gets off. You have the left lane, which is for people like Cliff. Did you say Cliff? Does he drive fast? And I am a modest driver. I drive in the middle two lanes. I'm in the third lane. So the slow lane, two middle lanes, fast lane. I'm in the third lane, driving, you said the speed limit was 65. Driving along, you say, were you driving 65? I said the speed limit was 65. I'm not telling you how fast I was driving, but I can promise you I was driving safely. And right beside me was another car in the second lane, and we were, you know, not being crazy, just driving very safely, driving along. And I don't know what we're doing, and I noticed something just quickly in my rear. You know, you're not looking at your rearview mirror. I see something movement, and the next thing I remember is between me and that car a motorcycle at about 90 miles an hour comes between us. I promise you this, that's not safe driving. I honestly didn't get afraid because I didn't have enough time. I saw something, I looked over, and the guy was through us, and then you start breathing down the road. Because you're thinking, if I would have drifted over, folks, there wouldn't have been enough of this guy on this motorcycle to scrape off the road. He would have been run over by a dozen vehicles, and he's driving in. And you say, well, they do that in the Philippines. Let me ask Satish, they drive like that in India, don't they? But in the Philippines, they drive like that, but they drive like that when people are driving slow. They're not driving 90. Friends, when you ask me what is worship, I know when I see it, I'm going to explain it, I'm going to show it to you, look at me, and I know what it's not. And when I see somebody driving 90 miles an hour in a motorcycle between two cars, that's not safe any more than some of the stuff people call worship. All right, Christy. By the way, this is not a perfect video for two reasons. Whoever did the video decided to do the first piece of it one way and then turn the phone. So you're picking up in the middle of a song, but I like the song. Do you understand heaven? America's become a party. Everything is a party. Everything is a celebration. Christ is excluded. We talk about how we feel, and we dance and we act like fools. By the way, I could go to that church today. How about you? That comes from, let's see, who does that come from? That comes from who? Linda, who does that come from? Linda's husband, his family, I think a brother, Is that right? Young, do you know who that is? You know that church? Wow. Look in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Comes from Brian's, is an uncle or something? I'm not sure who the church is. By the way, I want to bring the guy that's leading the music over here. That's the guy that I want. You know, friend, I've worshiped God all over the world. We make this real hard when really this is real easy. We want to do all kinds of stupid stuff. Isn't worship about the Lord with his people? Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 7 again, please. I've already told you, by the way, if you have a brain this morning and you actually want to worship God, I'm going to tell you the simplicity of gospel worship. And I want to emphasize the word simplicity. You don't have to have a light show. By the way, why do you have a light show when God's people can just come and pray and sing and read the Bible and do what we do in worship? You don't need games. I loved it. I've listened to it 20 times. I'm going to say four very simple things. In verse 7, what is the simplicity of gospel worship? Verse 7, it says, and upon the first day of the week. What is the first day of the week? That's the day we call Sunday. That is the Lord's day. So the simplicity of gospel worship starts with this. It starts in a very, very simple way. Mrs. Warren, I need something, and there are no Kleenexes up here. Lord knows why. Verse 7, number 1, we gather together, and it's this simple, on the Lord's day. We gather together on the Lord's day. That's the simplicity of gospel worship. It's the most important time of the week, gathering together on the Lord's day. We gather together. That's when we do it. Now, friends, we all have dates, dates that are particular to us, special to us. Maybe it's a birthday. Mine is 4/23/57. Maybe it's an anniversary. Ours is 6/9/79. Maybe it's when your children are born, 3/31/84 or 6/10/87. Maybe it's, by the way, I have a more, I got them, I'll get them. Thank you. By the way, I have a more important date than most of those. I have a date that I cannot ever forget if I want to live. 7/31/49. My mother does not get mad if I forget her birthday, but I better not forget her anniversary. And the day she was married was July 31st, 1949. And you say, isn't your dad dead? She doesn't care. I better send her flowers and I better say something to her. That's important dates. But friends, the simplicity of gospel worship. When I watch that short little video, I think here are Christians. I've never met them. They're from a country I've never had the privilege to go to. They're gathering together in terrible conditions. They have COVID, plus they have all of the instability of Cameroon. Yet Christians are gathered together on the Lord's day. That's the simplicity of gospel worship. Just that simple. By the way, we do not commemorate a date. We commemorate a day, the first day of the week. And it started in the New Testament. It didn't start 300 AD. Started right away. Christians observe a day, not a date. The day of the resurrection. A day observed from the very beginning. Christians start observing this day, the day of the resurrection. It's a day of observation without coercion, but from love and thanksgiving that Christ arose. This is the reason we meet on the Lord's day. We're going to look in the scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 28. Look there, please. Matthew 28. Now, I want to be very careful. I have no desire to offend or hurt anyone. Baptists in the 1600s, there was a group. They're still in America, very, very small group called Seventh-day Baptist. They meet on the Sabbath day, the Jewish Sabbath. Friends, I don't hate anybody. In the Seventh-day Baptist in America, when I say small, 30 or so churches, I believe, but they're still evangelical. But for a Christian, way back in the beginning, and we have two mentions in the New Testament, and in the first century forward, every Christian gathering is on the Lord's Day. It's the simplicity of worship. Matthew 28, why? The resurrection. Matthew 28, 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, this is when the ladies and later the disciples come and find the tomb empty. And later they will see the resurrected Christ, but it's on the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week. The next book, Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 1 and 2. Mark 16, not Matthew. I'm confused. By the way, Christy, remind me, never show a video like that at the beginning of a service. It makes me too emotional. And I'm cold-hearted, so I can't turn it off very well. Mark 16, please. And when the Sabbath was passed, meaning the last day of the week, for the Jewish people, that would have been the Sabbath, Saturday. Nothing wrong with Sabbath. It's a beautiful day. It commemorated creation. It commemorated redemption from Egypt. Christians don't deny the importance of Sabbath. Christians honor that. But it's the day of the resurrection that we celebrate, not because we hate somebody or don't like somebody. It's what Mark 16 says. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher. Luke chapter 24, please. The next book over, Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Does this mean that we have to celebrate the Lord's Day very early in the morning? It would be okay. That's not significant, but it's the day of the week. It's Sunday, the day of the resurrection, that special day that we set aside. All right, John chapter 20, please. John chapter 20, next book over. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, chapter 20, verse 1. All right, chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher." We come to the last text I want us to look at. 1 Corinthians 16, please. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Now, I want to say this to everybody. This is not a big issue. I want to just focus on simplicity. This is what we know. We know this. Jesus rose again on the first day of the week. All four Gospels focus on the first day of the week. Only twice in the New Testament are we given specific instructions about, not instructions, just examples. Acts, we find when the disciples, or Luke could say, when we come together on the first day of the week, because the disciples gathered for worship together on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, totally different subject. Paul is replying to, what do we do with the money to help the poor in Jerusalem? So in 1 Corinthians 16, he says this, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia." Otherwise, I've told other churches this too. This isn't unique to you, Corinth. This is what Christians do. He says, verse 2, "Upon the first day of the week," or according to the first day of the week, "let every one of you lay by himself or herself in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So we know this for sure. Jesus rose again on the first day of the week. The first major Christian gathering that we record is Acts 20. We gather together on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We gather together to help the poor or people in need or whatever. We gather that money on the first day of the week. It's a day of corporate worship. It's a day of Christian worship. It's the first day of the week. It's the day, by the way, we need to look back at Acts chapter 20, so we can, because we'll come right back to it. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 6. There's something else that's important to know, friend. When the disciples came together on the first day of the week, they could have chosen a different day. Because they were here for how long in verse 6? How long were they in this city? 7 days. So they could have gathered together on any day they wanted to. But when the disciples come together, they do so on the first day of the week. So friends, from the resurrection to the book of Acts to the Corinth, all the way through church history, Christians have gathered. You say, this is so dumb. Until you run into a Seventh-day Adventist that tells you you're not even a Christian if you don't go to church on Sabbath, Saturday. By the way, please hear me carefully. I have no criticism of people who think that I honor the Jewish Sabbath. It is a symbol of what God did for the Jewish people bringing them out of slavery in Egypt. But friends, Christians take this one step further, and we honor and remember by the example of the New Testament and following, we do this on the Lord's Day. So you say, what is worship? Worship's not hard. Number one, we gather together on the Lord's Day for corporate, public worship of God. It's a special day. It's the first day of the week. It's the beginning of the week. Starting your week off appropriately with God. It's not bringing your week just to a conclusion. It's beginning something new. That's the reason we do it on the Lord's Day. So, we gather together on the Lord's Day. Verse 6, please. Verse 6. We now come to the second idea. And it's very obvious. Verse 6. It says this. And we, Luke is including himself in this group, sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, then we follow from that. Verse 8 says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Here is simplicity of gospel worship. We gather together on the Lord's Day. Number two, we gather together with the Lord's people. It's just that simple. I must admit that I love church. Not all the pieces. I love the people of God. This is my family. And I'm going to say this to you. I'm not mad at anybody. When half of our church is someplace else, I miss people. I look around here, I know where everybody sits, except one or two of you who try to confuse me. People find their little place. And I just like to look over there. Louie's daughter got married in California, Louie and Marissa's daughter, one of them. Bunch of folks are out there. Other people are different places. Atong and Jenny Lynn always sit over there. They're in Florida with their girls at college. I mean, people are. Stacy lost her mother, just had the funeral. You got all of this going on. By the way, I know where people sit. Do you? This is my family. You say, what's church? Church is not a production. Church is not hoopla. Church is not wow. Church is, we gather together on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people. We gather together with the Lord's people, of course. Thursday, I taught school. My wife helped out, I think, Sister Ann in the morning. We got in a car, and we drove to Springfield, the big town of Springfield, Illinois. When we drove there, please look at me. I'm making fun of some of you, and I'm doing it deliberately. Did you hear me? I'm doing it deliberately. We drove all the way to Springfield so I could go out to eat, so I could tell you what I ate. Yes? Well, of course not. I could eat any place. I drove to Springfield so I could eat with my mother and my two sisters and a brother-in-law. And you say, do we have a good time? You almost have to wind my mother down. For an 89-year-old woman, she gets pretty crazy. I got pictures, and I'm like, man, I don't think we were telling that good of jokes, and they were coming unwound. Why? Because you gather together with your family. Friends, church is my family. So when you come to, there's a simplicity to this. Over time, you become one in one body, and what hurts one person hurts you. And yes, I love to pick on Rolando, but hey, I'm happy for... Can I say this? If you're not happy for Rolando, do me a favor. Please don't come back to Lake County. Find yourself a church where a church is about you and your emotions and your opinions. Did you hear me? I'm being serious. This is a family. We rejoice with one another, of course. We weep with one another. We walk through fire with one another. We pray for one another. Worship is simple. We meet together on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people. That's what we do. What else would you be doing? I have so many good memories of this place. I was talking to Rolando this week because I knew he was going to be taking a test. And it was this week or last week, I don't remember. I have another memory of you, Rolando. It's actually of your wife, not so much you. Rolando, do you remember a few years back he wanted to have a second wedding? I still remember. He's all pumped up. She has no clue. She goes back to the nursery. We're at the end of the service. I preached on marriage. It's time to do the go through the wedding vows again. He goes back to get her. She doesn't want him. She's thinking, hey, one time was more than enough. You had to be thinking that, sister. I got the pictures on my phone. You were crying all the way up here. I mean, she's crying, and I'm like, man, Rolando, I think she once was enough. We bring them up. By the way, I love that day. I love to see her cry. I have that memory. You say, well, it's my family. I'm sorry. The negative Lake County Baptist haters, I don't understand you. This is my family. I have memories for 26 years with my family. I remember the first time I walked into this auditorium and seating over there about where Pim is seating. Wave your hand, Pim. Charismatic right there. About where he was seating right there. I remember there's a guy over there in African clothing and a lady sitting beside him. And, you know, here's dumb me. I assumed husband and wife. I remember going up and talking to him. One of the best days I've ever had in my life, talking to that man. It wasn't his wife, of course. It was your mother, Ade. I didn't know they were Linda's dad and your mother were here at church. Maybe that was the second week. Friends, I remember him. Anybody that was here, the first time he read John 3:16 and did pigeon, everybody in this church remembers that day. Why? Because you don't come here for hoopla. You come here for God's people. We're here to assist each other, help each other, love each other, pray for each other, walk beside each other, because we go through the fire. We always do. Oh, by the way, Rolando, the only thing better than Navy crying was what happened downstairs. Did she cry too? Do you remember what happened downstairs? I got pictures of it too. Put your own guy. Demonstrate, please. I got the pictures to prove it. All I know is she was rubbing Dada's head and she gave him a big kiss. And for the rest of your existence, I have that picture here and on my phone. And yes, I will use it against you as often as I can. Oh, I have so many members. How about Mr. Losey? Mr. Losey, come in here. Memories slip away. My biggest memory is not just Mr. Losey being in church. My biggest memory was Mr. Losey coming here on Monday. First thing he'd do, he wouldn't come and talk to me. He didn't care about me. He'd go down the hallway, and he'd see the teachers, and he would ask them this question, what can I do for you? Who does that? Or I'd see Mr. Smith over here. Mr. Smith's ear, his hearing was so bad, he couldn't hear anything, but he'd come here and sing. Oh, by the way, if a student in our school, how about this? We have people that graduated from college that he paid their college bill, and they don't know who paid the college bill because he never told anybody. That old man, he was set about three or four rows back. He's with the Lord. By the way, folks, church is not something deep. Actually, people today want anonymity. They want to go to a church where they can slide in and slide out. Well, that's not biblical worship. Biblical worship is this. We gather together on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people. Ah, my goodness. I could go down the list. Actually, folks, I probably have 30 pictures I was going to show this morning, but I had no cell service in Springfield area. I had no service of any kind most of the time and didn't get them. So I'll just mention a few and move on. How about Emily and Steve? You know my favorite memories of Emily and Steve Tupper? Sorry, Emily. This is my favorite memory of you and Steve. It's not you and Steve. My favorite memory of you and Steve is I saw photos, I have them on my phone someplace, of when Preston came home, how much Grumpy Cat loved Preston and how much he loved her. That moves me. I don't know if she loves the other guy or not, but she loves Preston. And Grumpy Cat doesn't love anybody very much, to be honest with you. She likes me once a year or so. How about this? Pam and Mike. Singing, serving, supporting. And now that they're both retired, recently I saw both of them smoking right out there in that field. Some of you probably believe me. Oh, you know, I know. By the way, look at me. I've had enough of the cranky, nasty, mean-spirited people in my ministry that hate everything and hate everybody, but they're a Christian. I think you need to understand what Christianity is. You do understand you're going to go to heaven one day with the folks you saw behind you, don't you? So you say, well, I don't like those color people. Well, you better get over it quick. Or, I don't like you. God bless you, friends. Friends, heaven is going to be a time. It's not going to be the hoopla. The only difference is Jesus is going to be center stage. And all the host of all of God's people from all the ages will worship there. And this is a little foretaste of that. Turn your Bibles to two texts, if you would. I'm not going to preach these texts. I just want to reference them, if I may. Hebrews 3, verse 13. I will not try to preach these one more time. I have realized it only helps the people that are doing it. So I have people in this room that practice this, and then I have a group that just don't practice this, and they're never going to practice it, and I'm not wasting my time with you. But if you're one of those that are interested, here's what church is. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily. You know what exhort means? You're just part of a body. You're part of a family. You're part of the disciples. You're part of the Lord's children. And you gather together with them weekly and during the week. And what do? But you're just always trying to encourage the person further. That's what the nature of the ministry is. I have people like that. I hope you do. People that actually encourage me. Please look at me. I want to be as clear as I can. I have no people in my life who discourage me. None. If you're a discouraging type, you won't like me, nor will you talk to me much. I want to be around people that try to move me forward in one fashion or another. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Chapter 10, verse 25. Chapter 10, verse 25. And by the way, I'm going to address something this morning as clearly as I can in a moment. This verse has been abused. It was abused in churches I've been in. It's abused because we're not listening to the text. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And man, I've heard that preached on until people, I don't even like to read the verse, but we're not, look at me. You can show up at Lake County Baptist. Hey, you can show up at Lake County Baptist till you're 400 years old and not obey this verse. This is not about putting your bottom in a chair. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but doing what? You see, folks, we come to church because why? We gather together on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people for the purpose of encouraging, correcting, all kinds of interactions, loving, rejoicing, weeping, praying, all the things we do together. But there's somebody out there that's going to be brilliant and say to me this, Pastor Warren, I can worship God all by myself. And are you ready? Are you ready? Yes, you can. And yes, you should. But you can't worship God with a body all by yourself. And you need the body. Everybody does. And I want to say this. My first pastorate, I had one old woman. I won't say her name. She's long with the Lord. Her daughter's long with the Lord. They hated males. Have you met those women? They could never submit to a male. She's a woman that if I said that he graduated from college, she'd be going. Actually, she wouldn't. Her face wagged. Mine wags now, too. But her did it. She was older, and hers would go about this far. I can only get mine to go this far, but she would do this. And she would do it if I said, praise God, I'm happy for you. Here's the problem. She thought she was pious because she thought she was better than everybody else. Look at me. I don't. I think I'm one with everyone else, and I need the body. So do you. You need people to come alongside and say, hey, what's going on in your life? Why are you doing this? You need people to say, hey, how's your time with the Lord been? Folks, we all need a body. This is worship. Worship is simple. We gather together on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people. And we exhort, encourage, pray, weep, all the above. I told in Bible class this week about a Wednesday. Was it Wednesday last week or Tuesday? I don't remember which day it was. Which in 2013 was the day my dad died. I remember the day he died. I remember the day before. I remember on a Wednesday doing the funeral. I remember driving back up here and doing a wedding in Chicago on a Saturday. And on Saturday night, Linda, you know exactly what we did that Saturday night. We did your dad's funeral up here. By the way, the young lady whose wedding we did, I loved her as much as I love you. She has never gotten herself back to normalcy. Now she hates people like us. She must have forgot that she stayed in the McGrail's home for 2 years rent-free. By the way, you are going to choose how you live your Christian life. I'm choosing to live with God's people. That's me. Well, let's look on back to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, please. Acts chapter 20. I'm not going to be able to do some of the details. Forgive me. We might do them Wednesday night. I will just give you the broad contours. Acts chapter 20 now gives us the third part of the simplicity of gospel worship. It says, and upon the first day of the week, we gather together on the Lord's Day, first day of the week, Sunday. We gather together with the Lord's people. When the disciples come together, in verse 8 talks about when they gathered together. Number 3, we gather together not only on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people, but for the Lord's purposes. We gather together to do some things. You say, what are those things? Well, at least we gather together to break bread. My wife said that that's the Lord's Supper, and I never disagree with your wife publicly. Not a wise move. I would say that it might be that, and it might be more than that. It might be having a meal. Please look at me. Why? Friends, there are purposes in church. I got mad at somebody in this church last Sunday. He knows who he was. Look at me, everybody, up here. I got mad because of two things. So I want everybody to hear Pastor Warren. You do not interrupt worship. all parts of worship. And what is worship? It's when we pray. We pray. It's when we sing. It's when we have fellowship. You see, it's about us doing what the Lord called us here to do. So worship is this simple. We gather together on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people for the Lord's purposes for a local church. And what are those purposes? Doesn't mention all of them here. They're actually never taught in a list, but they're taught by example. I'll give you them. These are called, by the way, the elements of worship. Friend, let me just back up a minute. Let me take a breath. There are the elements of worship which are essential for gospel worship. You must have them to be a church. There's also called the accidents of worship. And I've added one other thing. There are the irritations of worship. There's one irritation. I'll tell you that in a minute. By the way, the accidents of worship would be things like the time, the length of the service, the location of the service. Do you wear shoes in the worship service or do you not wear shoes? The men and women sit on different sides. None of that means anything. I can live with any of the above. All of that's fine. How about this? The irritation of worship is announcements. When do you do announcements in a church? I know churches that do them at the beginning of the church service. It's like you walk up here and do announcements, and you're like, that's weird. We do it in the middle. I don't like the middle. Some churches do it at the end. I don't like the end. I hate announcements. I think they're irritations. I also think they're time people check out. But here's what's essential. We gather together for the Lord's purposes, and those purposes are these, friend, praying, meaning this, praying together. We can have one person lead. We can all pray at the same. You know, we could do lots of different things, but we come together to pray for one another, for God's work, etc. Singing, obviously, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs is essential to worship. Giving, giving of ourselves, giving of our tithes, giving of our offerings. This week, my good friend Pastor Franco flew to Haiti. Our church has money. You give. We set aside $500 every month. We put in a missions fund. Outside of all the missionaries around the world we support, $500 goes into a mission fund. We gave Pastor Franco $1,200. We gave him a bunch of money. I don't know how much he bought this young lady that he has, Nancy has supported in school all the way through, I believe. She has graduated from school and her house burnt down. They lost everything. So Nancy went out and bought her a bunch of stuff. I'm sure Nancy put money in that. Franco bought her some other stuff, bought her a phone. Our church, you say, why do we do this? Because public worship is real simple, friends. You come together and we sing together. We pray together. We give together. Giving for many reasons. To support the work here, missionaries, people in need. We observe the ordinances. Look, if you would, back up at verse 7. Notice the statement. Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to is a purpose concept. It's an infinitive in Greek. For the purpose of breaking bread. Then preaching. They're all here. Praying, singing, giving. The ordinances, fellowshipping. Now, friend, I am not sure if this is talking about just, how would I say this, just the Lord's Supper, but I do know this. If you read with me, look down in verse 11. The exact same phrase is used in verse 11. It says this, when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread, it's not talking about the Lord's Supper, and eaten and talked a long while even till break of day. Friends, these are the elements of worship, praying, singing, giving, observing the ordinances, fellowshipping. I don't know if this refers just to breaking bread, meaning the Lord's Supper. I don't think so. I think minimum it's breaking bread and the Lord's Supper and food. Sometimes it might be food, but it's important because it's what we do together. We must do it together. Look at verse 7. I want to skip verse by verse because the King James overstates something a little bit. In verse 7, it says they came together to break bread. Paul preached, but that's too strong for that word. It's a word that means he dialogued with the people. which is a fine word, and then even says that in the King James. He continued his speech, which is a little different than a sermon, but it might have included that. This was a long, probably a dialogue. He taught, they asked questions. He taught back and forth kind of thing. And this went on till midnight. Verse 20 says Paul was long preaching, but again, it's that same word, dialegomai. It means to dialogue or to teach, but not just preach. Verse 11, when he was therefore was come up again, had broken bread and eaten, he talked a long while, even till break of days. I mean, it uses various words, because here are the elements: singing, praying, fellowshipping, and that would include eating meals, talking, sharpening, concepts of observing the Lord's table, and Scripture is always central. Reading the Bible, explaining the Bible, applying the Bible. Turn to, if you would please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to have you turn to two texts, and then we will just about be done this morning. May I say this? This sermon is too simple. You're going to miss the whole simplicity. We gather together on the Lord's day with the Lord's people for the Lord's purposes. Hear me. If you don't read the Bible on the Lord's day, you don't have worship. I don't care what the kind of church is. If a guy comes in and says, the Lord has given me a word, this is what you do. You stand up and walk out. Our job is what Paul has taught. 1 Timothy 4:13. 1 Timothy 4:13, I don't have time to talk about background. Paul is training a younger pastor, and he says, till I come, give attendance. Otherwise, I want you to focus on this in the public worship of a church. Give attendance to reading. The preacher, the pastor, would have to read the Scripture. People wouldn't have had Bibles. He would read from a scroll or from a codex, an early form of a book. He would read. He says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Doctrine would then be the explaining of the Scripture. So my job is reading, and our job is reading the Scripture, explaining the Scripture. My job is also applying the Scripture to reading, to exhortation. Here's how it works. Here's how it applies. That's what we do. One last text for this. 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Everybody find it. Now, let me back up. My goodness, 1988, long time ago, seated about where Miss Roush is. Roush, is that how you say it? Why do I keep saying it wrong? Because I have a nickname. Forgive me, I call her Jen Rush. It's Roush. I call her Jen Rush because I saw her running around here chasing kids. About where she was seated in my church in St. Louis, every Sunday morning, and I don't have them on my keychain anymore. Every Sunday morning, we would do what we do here. We would sing together, pray together, give together, fellowship together, and then we would read the Bible. By the way, where did I get that idea from? It's we gather together on the Lord's day with the Lord's people for the Lord's purposes. And every Sunday morning, I'm sorry, I used to carry one on my keychain. I quit. Every Sunday morning, it was a much smaller auditorium, and it had a low ceiling. You don't realize having a high ceiling, a lot of sound dissipates. But every Sunday morning, I would hear this. And then I don't have one. I would hear right in the middle of reading the Bible, click, click. Somebody was trimming their fingernails right during the sermon. And by the way, the first time you hear this, you're like, I couldn't figure out who it was, but he had his head down over here. And honestly, it was so loud because, if you drop this ceiling 20 feet, where it's just 10 feet or so, you're going to hear everything. It's going to be like down there. I could hear the clicking. And then when he was done, he'd put the keys back in his pocket. First time I heard that, I'm thinking, who's cutting their fingernails? So when I walked out of church, I walked right down, and there was Jen Rush. It wasn't her, by the way. His name was Clinton. I know his name. There was Jen Rush right where she seated, the back pew, and there was a perfect pile of fingernails on the floor. Yeah, Pam, that's exactly my reaction. Somebody's going to have to clean up your nasty fingernails. And the next Sunday morning, click, click, click. Hey, look at me. I want you to look at me in the eyes. Do you real? Hey, this is not to you. Do you know I have preached probably 50 to 75 sermons on forgiveness in my time here, only to have people who are bitter about everything? Do you know what they're doing? Hey, do you know what they're doing? Click, click, click. Friends, the church service is not deep. We gather together on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people, whom most of you I love. Some of you I love a lot. Some of you, I love you like you love me. How does that work? I see Nia down here saying, yeah. I love you, young lady. Now, your old man, that's a separate story. Friends, 2 Timothy 3:15. There is no more important verse in the scripture for parenting. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, and that from a child. Do you understand? And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. This means Timothy's mother and grandmother sat him down and read the scripture to him and taught him the scripture from childhood. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand the precious nature of the Bible? This is the reason we read it, explain it, apply it. This is the reason worship centers around the scripture. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not only God-breathed, theonoustos, God-breathed, it's profitable. It will help you. So please look at me and answer a question. How could I have somebody that's been in this church 10, 15, 20 years who is still bitter at people? How is that possible? Doesn't the scripture help and change you? Doesn't the scripture release you? Isn't the scripture the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those that God has set apart for heaven? All scripture is given by inspiration. It's theonoustos, God-breathed, and it's profitable. And it's profitable for many things. It says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Sometimes it corrects me. Sometimes it reproves me. Sometimes it instructs me. Sometimes it teaches me. That, and of course, he's writing to a man, so it says that the man of God, but because we're talking to people, we could say that the people of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Friend, I'm almost done. I want you to look back at Acts chapter 20, verse 8. We'll quickly conclude the sermon this morning. My friend, I cannot say this enough. Worship is simple. But if you're bound and determined to do your own thing, hey, you're the person back there clicking. Week after week after week, I read the Bible, I explain the Bible, I try to apply the Bible. This morning's not a mean sermon. This morning is about what we do. We gather together on the Lord's Day, with the Lord's people, for the Lord's purposes, those elements of worship, singing, praying, fellowshipping, which means all the things we do with one another, observing the Lord's table, giving, and of course, hearing, reading, explaining, and applying the scripture. That's central. And the person back there going, click, 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 or wait a minute, wait a minute. There was a pastor I knew, A guy told me, watch him in the service. Every church service, back in the days, this was a long time ago, when you had personal planning gizmos. During the church service, when people were preaching, he would pull out his personal planner and start going through page by page. And I'm thinking, why is he here? I also thought, does he think nobody notices? Well, we come back to the last good news. Verse 8 of Acts 20. It says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And lights, by the way, are probably not this kind. They were lamps of some variety, olive oil lamps. So there's heat, there's smoke, and there's lack of oxygen. It says, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. I mean, he obviously was in a Baptist church because he was fallen in a deep sleep. And as Paul was long in preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up as dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, and said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. Again, it doesn't really say, is this a miracle? Or was God just miraculously protecting him? Makes no difference. He was alive. God was looking out for him. And then it goes on to say this. When he therefore was come again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, Paul then left. Verse 12. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Simplicity of gospel worship is we gather together on the Lord's day with the Lord's people, for the Lord's purposes, under the Lord's blessing or care. And friend, I want to demonstrate this in another way. Two verses, please, and we're finished. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. We're going to look at two verses from 2 Corinthians. I could demonstrate this from the whole Bible, but for time, we'll do it in two verses from 2 Corinthians. Now, look at me for one moment, friend. What I'm going to read is the verse you skip. Did you hear me? These are the verses you skip. But they're the most important verses because it's how you view the Bible. Remember Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Friends, how do I know the Bible is the center of a church? Because God himself, through the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, etc., wrote books to churches. They're the ones we read. They're the ones we explain. They're the ones we apply. But at the beginning and end of almost every New Testament book, almost, look at verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 1. It says this, grace be to you. We start out the Word of God, and by the way, the whole book is going to be God's grace, the Word of his grace, but we start out with grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Last verse in chapter 13, please. Chapter 13 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. I'm assuming you have this memorized. It's a great verse. But what I want you to see as we conclude is here it is. What's worship? Well, we gather together. When? Anytime we want? No. We do it on the Lord's day. With the Lord's people. For the Lord's purposes. Those five or six big central ideas. And we do so under the Lord's blessing. He starts with God's grace and peace to us. Why? Because in any setting, especially a church setting, we need to know about the grace of God that saves, that keeps, that protects. We need to experience the peace of God. And then he concludes by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or fellowship of the Holy Ghost, as we leave here, be with you all. Amen. Because we gather together on a certain day, the Lord's day, with the Lord's people, for the Lord's purposes, under the Lord's blessings of grace and peace. Father, thank you for your word. Seal these truths to our heart, I ask in Jesus' name.